Welcome to the View Church Tailview podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives. If you have a testimony which you would like to share with us, please email us at info@viewchurch.co.za. We would love to hear from you. Or if you would like to contribute towards the ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving. You're listening to a message from Andre Krieff.
Today's topic is doubt, and who started doubting the Lions were going to win that game when they had somebody sent off? Come on, hey, you just doubted. Who's also struggling with the ungodly doubt that Liverpool can't win the league this year? Anyone out there? I'm just saying that is not from God. And if you're going, I doubt Liverpool can win this, please come to our series and you will start believing. But doubt is pretty much you living in the middle. Doubt is you living in a place where you're going, I'm a person of faith, but I'm actually in the middle. I've got 1 foot here, I've got 1 foot there. I'm not really out yet, but I am living in doubt. And doubt can be a very dangerous place to live in, but doubt can also be a healthy place for you. See, you can follow Jesus with your doubt, and just because you doubt, it doesn't mean you're out of a relationship, because all of us have doubts. Anyone agree? We all have doubts. We have seasons of doubt. You might be doubting that there's a loved one who can get saved. You might be doubting that God's going to come through in a promise. And what we're going to do in this series is deal with all these things. But if you do have doubt, it doesn't mean that you're out. You can still be in a relationship with Jesus. You can still be in the boat with Jesus. So you don't have to have everything worked out. Thomas literally had doubt. And we know him as doubting Thomas, hey? He's famous for it. And what we see in the Bible is Thomas literally pushed into God because he had doubt. Because he said, you know, unless I see the scars, unless I see the holes in his body, Jesus shows up in front of him and says, cool, put your finger in the holes, check the scars. And he literally allows his doubt to push himself closer to God. You always need to make sure your doubt is pushing you into your relationship with God. In your seasons of doubt, it should be an opportunity for you to go, well, it says we shouldn't be anxious and worry about anything, but through everything, through thanksgiving and prayer. You know, that's your response. And in that place, what happens is you push into God. You push into God's word and you find stability and you find your answer. But what can happen is in those seasons, we can actually also be limbo. We can sort of sit in a stagnant place and have no peace. You can live in major anxiety, major stress, have no peace, and still have salvation and still have a promise. And one of the people in the Bible who had that was Sarah. God comes to Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a child. Sarah doesn't believe it. And if you study it, writers say that Sarah had no peace, yet she was carrying a promise. You know, she was pregnant with no peace. And you can be pregnant with a promise and still have anxiety and stress. What happens is so many people are sitting in church and they actually are believing and they're amening, but there's still so much stress and anxiety and you're feeling overwhelmed. And the reason that you could feel like that is because doubt has still got a place in your life. Phil Pringle says that if you use water, if you throw like a hairdryer into water, there's going to be an impact. Say you go swim in your pool, you put a hairdryer, you plug it in, put it in the pool, it's going to create a great impact in your life. Agreed? You throw it into your bath, it's going to have some side effects because water allows electricity. Electricity is allowed to move through water. It's like God's power moves through our faith. But if you put rubber in front of you, a rubber mat, and then you took live electrical wires, they plugged it and put it on the rubber and stood on the other side, you would feel nothing because rubber takes the power out of it. And that's what doubt does to us. Sometimes what we're doing is we're living this life where God wants to flow in a new way. He wants to put the Spirit of God, the river of God in your life, and faith activates that. But what we're doing is we're living in a place where we've got doubt, and it's like a rubber. It's like Sarah has got a baby inside of her, but she's not experiencing the happiness of that season. She's not experiencing a godly expectation. She's not having faith rise, going, wow, look at God, I'm 99, I'm carrying a child. She still lives in doubt. I don't know if you're in that place, but that's not a place that God has for us, and that's not the place that God wants for us. You know, none of us want to live in those seasons and still be going to heaven, but not enjoying life on earth. God came to give you life, and life to the full. He didn't just come to pay the price for your sins. He didn't just come to get you into heaven. He's come that you may have life and life to the full here on earth. So doubt is an opportunity for you to push into God. But doubt can also take you out. Doubt's a dangerous place to live in. Doubt can come in the way of your walk. And what happens is, in that season of doubt, you start questioning, is this really true? Is this Christianity thing really true? And is it worth it? You know, I remember sitting in church for a year before I gave my life, and I started thinking I need to sort my life out. I was also thinking that once I give my life to Jesus, it's going to be boring. So I've got 1 year left. I thought that. Some of you also think that. But of course, like I said, my greatest regret is that I didn't do it sooner, because once I got saved, I started experiencing life and life to the full. You know, the peace that I didn't have, all of a sudden, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, moved into my life. The fear I had and the stress about the future had to move out as Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith, moved into my life. And all of a sudden, I had direction, I had a future. But doubt has a huge potential to take you out. If you aren't sure of how to handle your doubt, you can be sidetracked. And today, I'm going to look at some people who had overwhelming circumstances that should have had loads of doubt, and they got through it. Of course, we see Peter walking on water. You know, Jesus comes to the guys late at night, walking on water, and Peter says, if it's you, call me. And then Peter comes out the boat. Have you ever heard that story? That's not just people doing stand-up paddling out at Big Bay, walking on water. That's the biblical story of Jesus walking. And then Peter walks, and he gets in water, and then he looks at the winds and the waves. He starts to sink. And in that moment of doubt, he starts to sink. But what's amazing is, as he doubted, Jesus reaches out. You might be doubting your future. You might be overwhelmed. You might be sinking in your storm. But I want to tell you today, Jesus wants to reach out to you today. Jesus wants to put a hand out. And just because you got doubt doesn't mean he loves you less or can do less powerful things in your life. Well, actually, you see, Jesus comes to his hometown and there's no honor and people lack faith and he can't do miracles. Doesn't mean he doesn't want to do miracles. No, he wants to do miracles. He'll still put his hand out there. And of course, Jesus then says to Peter, it's quite hectic. He says, you're little faith. Why did you doubt? But Jesus reached out. In Mark 4, 35 to 41, which is going to be the first story I'll look at. And then I'm going to look at Daniel and the three other guys who are living in Babylon after that. And what I'll do is I'll give you an overview of that. But this is going to be the main scripture I'm going to look at. Mark 4, 35 to 41. You can write that down. And here we go. It's because it's also going to be on the screens. That day when Jesus came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also others in the boat with him. So let's read 36. Let's get this down. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Of course, so that's a crazy experience. Hey, who's ever been in a boat where water's coming over? Not many of us. I've actually been out in dangerous conditions, but never like this. So I can imagine this was scary. The disciples, it was swamped. Jesus was in the stern, so of course in the stern of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Other writers say that he was just challenging. He says, why do you doubt? Don't you have any faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Of course, what you need to understand is these guys were fishermen. And their livelihood was being on the water. They would have seen storm after storm after storm. So if they were afraid in this storm, it was a great storm. But the first thing I want you to see is we can never be overtaken. We can never get under what Jesus is over. And the first thing we see here is Jesus tells the storm to be quiet. So many of us are living in seasons where we are under the circumstances. So people say, how are you doing? Well, under the circumstances, not that good. But what happens in life is we start to let our lives be determined by what Jesus is over. Jesus created this world. Jesus set all the days in place. He created you in your mother's womb. He even said, I've got a plan that I prepared for you beforehand. And then we get under what He is over. It's simple. In seasons of doubt, you have to remind yourself how powerful God is. You have to get perspective of who God is. If you are studying your circumstances, it means you've taken your eyes off Jesus. If you are focusing on it, it means you've taken your eyes off Jesus. So simply, the first thing you need to do in your doubt is you need to make a decision. It's simple. And we actually have to take responsibility to make a decision. We can't just think that us crying and just going, I need help, is the decision. It's when you start to feed yourself. Of course, you know the gentleman who's got two dogs, and every time the one dog wins in the fight, and then the next week the other dog wins, and he bets money every week on the right dog, and they say, how do you get it right? Well, it's the one I feed that wins the fight. He knows who he's feeding. And it's the same with us. Whatever you feed will win the fight in your life. Whatever you're feeding. So what we do is we can choose what we're going to focus on. And so many times, doubt is not a choice. It just happens. It's an easy place to go to. Anyone else here? Hey, come on, we read the news. It's our human nature to doubt. And it's like we just go, well, I'm just going to go there. But you and I have a choice. We have to choose abundance. We have to choose victory. We have to pave our way to victory by making a decision. So clear, what ultimately what happens is whatever gets your attention determines your direction. If you do any water sport, you learn. Make sure your head is stable. When I was doing surf skiing, that's what they taught me. Focus on the one point on the surf ski. Keep your head stable. Once you learn and once you grow, yeah, things can change. You know what I mean? You can start to look around. But most of the time, if you move your head quickly, you will lose your stability. You will get knocked off course. It's a simple principle. They had Jesus in their boat, but they were looking at the thing that Jesus was more powerful than and thinking it was going to overwhelm them. You and I need to just focus on Jesus. Why do we focus on Jesus? Hebrews 12 verse 2 says this. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Now we can leave that up. It's simple. This is a simple thing that you have to do in your season of doubt. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Now if you were a book writer and you had a publisher, they would take your book, look through it, and they would make sure it's in a condition so that it can be released. They would make sure the grammar's right. They would make sure all the paragraphs are right. And you and I go to the one who is the author of our life to get through seasons of doubt. We look to the one who's not only gone to the depths of the earth, he's gone to the grave to get our victory, but he's already in heaven. He's got our back and he's got our front. He created us in our mother's womb and he already has perfected our faith. The Bible says that he goes ahead of us. He's our forerunner. A forerunner is a boat that leads a larger ship into a harbor, a treacherous harbor. He not only leads us, what he does is he takes you and my life, he ties it to himself, he goes to heaven, and he secures our victory in heaven. We have got a forerunner in heaven. You and I have already secured. Who can go to heaven to take it off? No one. So we look to him. Keep your eyes on the perfecter of your faith. The next thing you need to do is, when you look to Jesus, and when you turn to Him, you need to realize that He might not always change your circumstances, but He does want to change you. He does. He wants to change you more than He wants to change your circumstances. In your seasons of doubt, if you can now settle that He's over those things and He's more powerful than those things, what can happen is you cannot worry about the things you're going through. You can start to focus on the one you're going through it with. That's simple. And if you can settle that He wants to change you more than He wants to change circumstances, then clearly you can be grateful that He's preparing you for greater things. That's simple. If you can settle that, you can start to live in great victory. And here's a scripture that actually, for me, is so powerful, and it totally changed my life in this area when it comes to circumstances I go through. And it's in Jeremiah 24, 4 to 7. Of course, did I give you guys that? Yeah. So 29, 4 to 7. And of course, this is Israel in Babylon. They are living in slavery, and they think they're going to come out of slavery. They think they're going to come out earlier. People are prophesying. They're having some good people, Christian guys, trying to speak hope and saying, God's going to get you out of the circumstances. And the other prophet says, no, God's not trying to get you out of the circumstances. God's trying to change you in your circumstances. And he says this: this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those that are carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. So they had men saying, you're going to get out of this. He says, no, you're going to stay in it. But while you stay in it, what I want you to do is build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase the number there. They're like, what? We're going to live here forever. We're going to live in exile in Babylon forever. I'm going to live in these circumstances forever. What? So they have too many sons and daughters, an increasing number, they do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too prosper. God is bigger than Babylon. God is bigger than your current circumstance. God is bigger than your exile. God is bigger than that thing that's making you worried. God is bigger than that thing that's making you overwhelmed. God is bigger than that storm you're going through. And if you can realize that greater is God that's in you than the storm that's in front of you, you can become better in your circumstances, even if you don't get out of your circumstance. But here's the crazy thing. God will even bless your bad circumstances through you. What a crazy thought. When I read that, I was like, oh my hat. This is crazy. So you know what? When you read the press and go, this government is going to determine my future, you go, no, God is going to determine my future, and I'm going to determine this country's future. This country isn't over my God. My God is over this country. So I'm now going to look at my doubt and my stress, and I'm going to look at the author of my faith. I'm going to start to grow. I'm going to start to prosper this land. I'm going to pray for this land. And even as this land prospers, then I'll prosper. But who determines the prospering? Me. I'm not a victim. I'm a child of God. So don't ask God to bless what you're going through. Do what God is blessing. And the prophet comes to them and says, this is what God is blessing. If you do these things, I'll bless it. Have you ever, you know, sometimes what we do is we're just going, I'm not going to bless. I'm not going to sow in this season because I'm not happy with the season. That might be the reason you're not happy with the season. Because you're not doing what God is blessing. Sometimes you can hold back. I'm not going to get involved until the circumstances are right. That might be why the circumstances aren't right. You just need to be faithful and see that God is bigger and that you can still sow seeds in and out of season. You can produce fruit in Christ. And the only reason you don't have a new season is because you haven't sown in the current one. Groundhog Day. How do you get out of the old season? You sow a new seed. Sow a new seed. Be deliberate. So why would we expect our lives to be safe and predictable when we follow Jesus who went to the cross and died for the sins of many? Because every day we're trying to be more like Jesus. Of course, James 1:2-4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance finishes its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Our trials, we don't have to stop our trials. We don't have to change our circumstances. We can be changed in them. We can have perseverance. We can be brought to complete faith, lacking nothing. John 16, verse 33, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus is bigger than the storm they were facing. He'd already overcome it. He was in their boat. He was the finisher of their faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. So then, another story in the Bible, which is so interesting to me, is when Israel was in exile, what they did was they plundered Israel. Israel were being disobedient to God. God gave them opportunity after opportunity. He sent men of God, prophets, to speak God's word, and they didn't listen. And what happened was Babylon came, and this is modern day Iraq, moved in, overtook them, and they took out the best of the land. So they said, "We want all the royalty of the land," and they're going to come and study for 3 years in Babylon. They're going to change their names, change their language, change their diet. We're going to change their identity, and we are going to take the best so that we can become better. Then we're going to leave the least and have them farm the land, and the people in the middle, we're going to kill them. That was their tactic. So Daniel might have had family members who got killed. Let's face it. I don't know if it was me, I most probably wouldn't have been chosen. Hey, I would have been in Israel, either doing the land or being killed. So Daniel was at the top of the grade. He was royalty. He gets in there. And the men that get chosen and we get focused on in the Bible is Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are their new Babylonian names. Daniel's name, of course, was supposed to be something else, but he never got defined by it. But what's so crazy is these people come from the tribe of Judah. That's why we see in the Bible, whenever Daniel was supposed to eat food, he wouldn't bow down to it. He says, "No, I'm a man of praise. I only honor God." When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were supposed to bow down to this huge, if they were going to get thrown into the flames of fire, and they bowed down to this huge idol, the reason they didn't do it, because they were from the tribe of praise. We do not give our praise to anyone else but God. The thing is, God is greater than what you're going through. And if you can recognize that, you will then be grateful in all circumstances. We have to keep our praise alive in seasons of storm and doubt and in seasons where we are overwhelmed. We have to keep our praise alive. It's simple. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but through prayer and thanksgiving, thanking God is the key to overcoming anxiety, stress, and doubt. These men were men of praise. So what happens? They get carried off, and it's Daniel, and the original names are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These four men were chosen. Of course, then they got changed. They changed their name. Daniel, they wanted to call Belteshazzar. I can't say that right, I'm sorry. But and then Hananiah was called Shadrach, and Mikael was called Meshach, and Azariah was called Abednego. So then they were trained to study for 3 years. They were going to eat the food, and they were going to go through all these rituals of Babylon so their identity would be changed. The only reason these men made it through that season serving God because they believed God would protect them, that God would be there for them. That's simple. It sounds so simple. You need to get it. If you want to get through your season of doubt, you need to believe that God can get you through it. I don't have anything else for you. That's it. You need to believe it. You need to look back at what God has done for you. Daniel refused to allow the circumstances to change his belief. But he did allow his belief to help him overcome any circumstance. He believed God. When you believe God, when your faith is growing, you will overcome circumstances. You will overcome seasons of doubt. The biggest lesson we can learn from Daniel's life is that correct thinking leads to correct actions. Correct thinking leads to correct actions. Doubt is an attack on your mind and how you're thinking and what you believe. And when you live in doubt, your actions will change. But when you live in belief, the right actions will come. As a man thinketh, so is he. It's simple. So the circumstances attempt to enslave Daniel. And if you study it, before they gave food, because he said, I want to eat of the diet here. And he said, I want vegetables. And the reason, he wasn't anti-meat. He was anti the process they took. In that culture, they would take their food before the Babylonian gods and then offer it to them and honor them before they ate the meal. So when Daniel was eating the food, he was saying to them, I'm honoring your gods. And he said, I'll never do that. I'm from the tribe of Judah. I only praise the real God. What he was saying was, you can invade my country, you can kill my family and friends, you can march me across the desert, you can try to change my name, you can give me a new language, you can force me into a new way of life, but I'll not acknowledge or worship any other God, because God is greater than the circumstances I'm going through. He believed it. He was settled on it. Right belief led to right action. Can I have the worship team up? Daniel believed that God was greater than anything he was going through. The disciples we see in the boat were not going through what Daniel was going through. Daniel believed. There are only two guys in the Bible that we see who really believed and didn't get distracted. Daniel and Joseph, both in foreign lands, both in slavery, both been living out their life in a way as prisoners, but they didn't change their belief of who God was. Greater are you that's in me than the things that are coming against me. Greater there is you that's in my boat than the storms that are out of my boat. You are in control of all these things. You are bigger. You can snap your fingers and everything will change. So clearly, you're not trying to change the circumstances. You're trying to change me. You're trying to give Israel a new destiny. You're trying to give Israel a new future. And it's through me that not only Babylon prosper, but my people prosper. Sometimes the biggest blessing you can be to your family is who you are in a storm. Not who you are in the good seasons. Because who you are in a storm says so much about your faith. Are we really different? Daniel was different. He was different because God was bigger than Babylon. You know what's so amazing in Scripture? It says, but Daniel, later on in the book of Daniel. It's so interesting because they try to change his name, but he wouldn't take the name on. The new name they gave him meant Baal saves. But his name meant God is my judge. It's when your circumstances become so big in your life that they change your identity, that you know doubt's taking you backwards. Yeah, this is my struggles. You start identifying yourself by your storm, by your struggle, under the circumstances. This is what I'm going through. This is who I am. This is where I was born. This is where I grew up. But this is my identity. Daniel said, no, that's not my identity. I'm a child of God. God is my judge. I serve an audience of one. I'm not identified by the city or what I've been enslaved in. I will not let you give me a new name. That's why in the book, people are still saying, but Daniel. The book is named the Book of Daniel. Children are naming their children Daniel. Daniel, because he decided to be strong even in a tough circumstance, even in seasons where he should have doubted. He decided to stay strong. We give the next generation a foot up when we stay strong in tough circumstances and overcome. Can you get through your doubt? Yes, you can. You don't have to be overwhelmed by your circumstances. You don't have to be enslaved and find a new identity. You have already got your identity in Christ. You are a child of God. You have been made new. The old is gone. The new has come. Yeah, but I struggle with these things. Yeah, you might be struggling with that. And I acknowledge it. We're going to pray for you. But that's not who you really are. You are a child of God. You've been saved by grace. Daniel made up his mind. He wouldn't budge. He knew God could accomplish more through his convictions than through compromise. God can do more through our convictions than our compromise. If he compromised, he might have said, you know, they said, if you eat this food, you will look the best. Now you understand, my God makes me look good. He will be my promoter. He will sort my health out. I'm going to honor him. I'm not going to become better through compromise. I'm going to become better through conviction. Even in your storm, what's your conviction? What do you mean? Jesus the King of Kings. Has he got your back? Are the days ahead of you better than the days behind you? He's the author and perfecter of your faith. We need to settle on it. Daniel stood firm. He refused to compromise. So what I want to say to you today, Jesus is sleeping in your boat. You might be going through a storm. He is blessing now, so maybe you just need a rest. Maybe you just need a rest. But if you can't rest, if you can't rest in your anxiety, if you can't rest in your doubt, if you can't rest in your stress, then wake your faith up. Wake the person of your faith up and ask him for help. But if you keep waking up your doubt and your anxiety and your stress, the storm's going to be the focus. If you can wake up your Savior, faith will rise and will speak to your circumstances, and doubt has to leave the boat. It has to get out the room. We have to wake our faith up in all our circumstances. Wake it up. How do we wake it up? In worship. They were from the tribe of Judah. They wouldn't let their faith be dropped. They let it rise. When you're going through tough times, disconnect with people, wake up your faith. You're not a victim. You're a child of God. Wake up your faith. Maybe you feel like Jesus is sleeping there, but you've gone through so much, you stopped trying to wake him up. And today you're saying, I need to go back to God. Maybe you just need to go take a pillow and take a nap next to him and rest in the fact that he's got your back. If he's sleeping in the boat, that boat's not going down. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe you've pushed through for so long and you just need to find your rest in Jesus. Even when you rest in Christ, doubt has to leave. Doubt has to go. But I promise you, you can find your strength in Him.
Thanks for listening to this week's View Church podcast.